this morning, and I know I realize they're on the screen. Didn't really mean to leave them on the screen, but if you can go from your Bibles this morning, that would be wonderful, and hopefully you're going to take some notes. Our text verse today is verse 21, as Brother Kelton has already read. We're going to back up to verse 17 to establish a little bit of a context this morning with what's going on in 1 Kings 18. I realize over the past couple of weeks, I've dabbled in and out with 1 Kings 18, 1 Kings 19, and it's where the Lord's had me. I've enjoyed this time and studying out some different characters. And Bailey had asked me this morning whether or not we're going to do a series on character of the Bible, and it looks like that we probably are. And just we're allowing the Lord his liberty. I don't want to muscle anything today. We want to give it to him and let him run with it. So in 1 Kings chapter 18, look with me if you will in verse 17. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered and said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto the Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Father, we come to you this morning. We ask that your will may be done today. We pray that you take your message, Lord. We pray that you would instill it into our heart. Father, we pray for conviction from the Holy Spirit of God via the Word of God this morning. We ask you, Lord God, not only to bless and sanctify this day to thy holy name, but Lord, I pray this morning that every soul that's within earshot, those present today, those watching online, those watching later on, Father, I pray that you would speak to them through your precious word and make a difference in their life, dear God, as they may make a difference in the lives of others. And I also ask, dear Lord, if there be one soul, Lord God, today who knows you not as Lord and Savior, Father in heaven, I ask you, let this be the last day, last moment, last hour, where that is that undecision, that indecision, if you will, that discommitment, Father, is present in their life. I pray that their confession be made sure to accept the free gift and pardon of sin in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. So in the days of Elijah here in 1 Kings 18 especially, we know we're on the backside of this great famine in the land. But Israel had become a nation of idol worshipers. They proclaimed God, but they worshipped Baal in the grove within the temple. Elijah was not a politically correct man. We're going to see some of the things that he said in this chapter here as we proceed this morning. And you'll understand that he was not politically correct. He called it like it was. Ahab the king says, art thou he that troubleth Israel? He didn't even blink. He didn't even bat an eye. Elijah says, it's not me, it's you. You're the one causing the problems. You and your daddy's house and your wicked wife, all of you guys are the ones who are troubling Israel, not me. And beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that not only was Elijah not politically correct, but we today, as Christians in the world that we're living in this morning, we ought not be politically correct either, amen? We need to call it like it is. A Christian in this world today that is filled with darkness, souls are being taken captive by the devil at his will this morning. We cannot afford to play politics or appeasement amongst the people. We need to stand upon the one and only true Word of God, which is the only thing in this life which is perfect and pure. Now, beloved, Baal was known among the pagan world as the sun god, the god of fire, if you will. His image was that of a molten calf or a bull. It originated under Nimrod, which was the great grandson there of Ham. And his worship dates all the way back to that time there at Babel. And guys, if you'll remember that it was the molten calf that the Israelites produced while Moses was on Mount Sinai. Remember what Aaron said? Aaron said, listen, they just gave me the gold and I threw it in the fire and this thing popped out. Now, goodness gracious, he lying through his teeth. How in the, because it just popped out. I don't know how it happened, you know? Yeah, you know, I mean, that's what we have. But that's where this dates back to. It goes all the way back pre-Egyptian days into Babel. So, beloved, an idol is what I want you to understand what an idol is this morning. It's easy for us to look at a molten calf, you know, or a Trojan horse or something along that line that people will bow down and worship a graven image and this and that and say, those are idol worshipers, an idol worshiping. But, beloved, an idol is an unauthorized source of worship and or for provision. If you are seeking the provision and the providence in your life or the worship in your life through any other source other than God himself, my friend, that is an idol. Anyone in any shape, form, or fashion who prays to anything other than God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ through the power and might of the Holy Spirit of God is performing or seeking their provision through an unauthorized source, which will result in the judgment of God. Now, in the days of Elijah, again, like I said, Israel had turned their backs on God. They had forsaken his ways. They had forsaken the right ways. But they wanted to be known as a nation of God, but they just didn't want to worship God. Now, I could park there for the next 10 minutes. Does not that sound quite familiar? Aren't we a Christian nation? Can I tell you this morning? No. All right, we're not a Christian nation. Amen. I don't care if we got a church named after our country, Church of Wales, Church of England, Church of Scotland. Hey, listen, they ain't no. I'll turn and burn and get back to the sermon. That does not make us a Christian nation, amen. Israel sought their provision from an unauthorized resource. And the results, guys, that we find when people seek for an unauthorized resource, the results are very similar that we find in our days today. The days of grace. Now, there's two types of judgments that will fall upon the land. Now, God's wrath, guys, can be brought in a multitude of ways, but usually they're going to fall within two types of categories. There is what we know, biblically speaking, we know there is the active wrath of God, the active wrath of God. Now, here's what happens when we see that Elijah steps in. He tells the people, because they are trying to serve both gods, this is what he asks them. How long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to stand there and either serve God or not? The wrath of God is upon us today. We know they're in this 3.5 year time of famine. But back to the judgment of God and the wrath of God. In the Old Testament, we find many a times, we find the active wrath of God, such as what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. When two angels went into the city, they took out Lot and his wife and his two remaining daughters. Fire and brimstone was rained down in the city, and all the cities of the plain were destroyed because of the wickedness that came before God. We see the same thing with the flood in Noah's day in Genesis chapter 6. And we see it when Elijah called down fire from heaven upon the enemies of the Lord. We see it when 70,000 souls were slain by the angel of the Lord as a result of David numbering Israel. And many other places of the active wrath of God do we find. So not only is there the active wrath of God that we see in the Old Testament primarily, but we also can find, both in Old and New, the passive wrath of God, which we see more today as a result of the Lord Jesus Christ paying the price for mankind's sin. However, our world today, believers and non-believers alike, they continue to dabble in idol worship, guys. They begin to seek in provision from unauthorized resources, and the results of those of doing so is simply the passive wrath of God. We find that in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 makes it very clear. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man," idol worship, all right, "and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things." Verse 28 says, "And even as God, or even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Now, guys, we see that today. You say, well, how do we see, are people actively worshiping birds? Are they bowing down to the creeping things? Or do we see that in the streets? No, but I'll tell you what, people put more value on a spotted owl than they do children today. They put more value. Listen, you will go to prison today if you accidentally or incidentally destroy an owl's nest with eggs in it, but you got the legal right for a 16-year-old to go and board a child anytime they want to. Mind you, abortion is murder, and I could care 2 cents about your opinion today. Your opinion, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, means nothing. Don't come to me and say, well, what about this situation? I don't care. I don't want to hear it. It's wrong, it's vile, and it's murderous, amen? And you are an idol worshiper today if you put that before God. Now listen, I love animals. We got a dog, I love cats. I like cats. We don't have them anymore. I'm one of those rare people who like dogs and cats. Amen? But there is no dog, there is no cat, not even a tiger. I'm in love with tigers. That is more important than the life of one human being. Not one. Let me go ahead and give you a little Bible here, guys. For those of you out there today who think that harming a child... First off, let me tell you when life begins. If your science teacher was an idiot and told you that it began when at birth, it begins at conception. Amen? Mary was present with child. Amen. Okay? We know that. But let me give you a Bible fact here today. Jesus Christ said, "Woe unto they who offend one of these little ones." Children. He said it would be better for them to have a millstone cast about their neck and cast into the deepest sea. Let me put that to you in plain English. It would be better for you to be dead than to harm a child. Pedophiles, it'd be better for you to be dead than for you to harm a child. Those who support pedophilia, same thing. Amen. I know some of you is going to squirm in your seat today. Keep squirming, because I ain't stopping. Amen? I will take a stand on the Word of God and protect our children. Channel 4, that wicked, vile Channel 4, is producing a television show right now called Naked People or Naked Something, and old people are undressing in front of children. Look up the sponsors and the producers of that television show, and if you support one thing of them, you're just as guilty. Amen? Yeah, I know it's going to get tight today. Let it get tight. Loosen your belt. Amen. I'm just telling you here this morning, guys, the child of a life from conception forward is more important than any bird, any animal, or any agenda in this world today. I'm not politically correct, guys. Never have been and not going to be. Amen. And if you don't like it, you know what the alternative is. Jesus Christ said himself, it's better for a millstone to be cast about their neck. Amen. But the passive wrath of God, guys, is not him raining fire. Sometimes I want him to rain fire. Amen? While we're on the subject, and you brought it up, I'd love him to rain fire down on every abortion clinic on the planet while we're at it. Have I made my position clear this morning that I believe in life at conception and the Bible teaches life at conception? Amen? Before I formed thee, I knew thee. Before I formed thee in your mother's belly, I knew thee. The God said, you ain't smarter than God, you ain't more powerful than God. So you can change your opinions and your positions right now and get in line with the Lord. Amen? Or you can just be wrong. So yeah, there's times I would love the active wrath of God. But here's the caveat of that. What if it comes on me too? We all sin and we're all sinners. So the passive wrath of God. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Why? Because they did not retain God in their knowledge. They chose their preferences and their opinions over biblical fact. They said, oh, well, what about incest? Well, what about rape? What about this? Those are horrible, treacherous things. But it's not fair to cast that guilt of one person upon an innocent child. Now, I'm going to get off the subject now. But you know what the results, you know what the passive wrath of God means? No, he doesn't rain fire and brimstone down upon people. It just means that he steps to the side and he removes the blessings. He takes his hands off just a little bit and lets you feel what it's like without him protecting you and providing for you and guarding for the nation. Financial trouble that our nation is in today is because as a nation, we've turned our back against God. Well over 50% of our population, nearly 64 million people, they don't even believe in God. Only 1.5% of the people of our population of 64 million people, that's all four countries, attend church on Sunday, and that's any church. Mind you, the majority of those are in Scotland and Northern Ireland. I'm saying all that to say this, even though he doesn't rain fire and brimstone down, he just steps out the way. The providence that he provides, that he alone, his blessings are removed. And this is what's happening today. And this is what was happening in Elijah's day. Even though God, he had every right, man, to drop a bomb down on him for turning their back on him. He just said, okay, I'm just going to hold water. He didn't hold oxygen. He didn't kill off the animals. He didn't darken the sun. He says, I'm just going to hold them. I'm going to tighten their garden hose. I'm going to pinch the garden hose for 3.5 years. He just stopped providing rain. That's it. We see that in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there should not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, we understand that James refers to this same time in James 5:17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it may not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Ahab wanted to blame Elijah. Ahab wanted to say, you're the one troubling Israel. And Elijah turned around and said, nope, it wasn't me, it's you. You're the one that got the people, you and your wife and your daddy, you're the one that got the people worshiping this unauthorized God, seeking provision there. And because of that, God now is not raining fire and brimstone. He's just holding back the rain. So not only did this result in a famine in the land, countless deaths, pain, and suffering, all because the people forsook the Lord, it created a spirit of indifference. And this is where I want to kind of hunker down for the next 15 minutes, and we'll close the sermon this morning. I got one point today, 3 subpoints, but one main point this morning. It created a spirit of indifference. I want you to look at our text verse this morning that Brother Kelton read today in verse 21 of Acts of 1 Kings 18. I don't know where Acts came from. And it says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. What's the answer? And the people answered him not a word. I mean, this is the question. This is calling them on the carpet, and Elijah, and to us guys, from God today. And how long halt you between two opinions? How long are you going to stand between those two gods? Which one are you going to serve? You're here on Sunday, then on Monday, are you serving that God to let you do anything and everything that you want to do? How long are you going to stand in the middle, call yourself a Christian, but practice by looking at an unauthorized source throughout the week? Guys, every time we place something else in front of coming to church, we are choosing Baal. Every time. Maybe not with words, but most definitely in actions. Every time we put a resource in front of the Bible, we lean on our own opinions, or we are worshiping the grove, if you will, an unauthorized source of provision. Guys, some of us here have lost loved ones, husbands, wives, children, parents, neighbors, co-workers, and we call ourselves Christians, and yet we live as the pagans do. We practice our activities, and when the law sees the little importance that we place on worshiping and serving God, they're not going to be saved. They never will be. They will never place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when they see us half-stepping through our Christianity. When they see us putting the Bible in the church and prayer second, third, and fourth in our life. How long halt ye between two opinions? That's the question. I mean, what do people say? They didn't say anything. They sat silent. Why? Because they had a spirit of indifference. Weak, no backbone, no faith, silly little people who wanted their cake and eat it too. They wanted to sing about God on Sunday, but they wanted to bow to Baal on Monday. Standing between two opinions, indifferent. Whatever makes you happy, makes me, you know, it's okay, all good. We're all good. Can I tell you, that's a death sentence to the soul. I used this illustration last week in a motivational video, but I looked this up. In the United States of America, get this, guys. You don't know what an armadillo is? Everybody knows, ever seen an armadillo? I haven't seen them here, but we got them all over the States, man. And we call them possum in a half shell, all right? They roll up like a roly-poly, and but they're ugly. They really are. We used to chase them around when I was a kid growing up in Florida, and we would run after them, and they would run and run and run, and then we'd get our leg and put it in front of them, and they would latch onto it, and then we would kick back, and then they would ball up, and they would roll all over. It's silly. It really was not that fun of a game, to be honest with you, but that's what we did as kids. And but did you know in the United States of America, 500,000 armadillos are killed every single year on the road? 500,000. Now, when we go back to the States, we see these things all over the place, dead and alive. So the population of armadillos must be through the roof if a half a million of them can be killed, and we're still seeing them everywhere, right? But do you know why they're killed on the roads? They're killed on the roads because they go to cross that street. For whatever reason they're across the street, I don't know, but they go to cross the street, and when a car comes, no matter where they are, they stop. And they go this, they waddle back and forth. They freeze, and they get ran over. And they're dead. A lot of times you see them, their feet sticking straight up in the air. And guys, that's the problem. They're attempting to cross the street. They're trying to get over there, but they just are halt between two opinions. I heard one man put it like this. They're dancing in the middle of the street. They're going back and forth. And you know what? Some of us, we're dancing between Christianity and paganism. Some of us in our Christian life today, we're shouting it out, we're hooping and hollering, we're praising God on a Sunday, but Monday comes, we're living like the world. And I'm here to tell you this morning, guys, that ain't going to cut it. That's not going to cut it. See, there's, like I said, there's one point, and I believe it is the single factor that would save armadillos' lives and save Christians as well. A Christian's life for success is this single entity: are you committed? It's commitment. That's what it is. Elijah asked them, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long halt ye between two opinions? Guys, those armadillos are killed because they're uncommitted to the journey. If they would just cross that street, they'd never get hit by the car, or at least their chances would be much, much less likely to do so. We are unsuccessful in our Christian life, and we find that the passive wrath of God falls on our lamb simply because we are uncommitted in the way that the Bible has told us to be. Israel was uncommitted. They wanted to serve Baal, and then they wanted to be called to people of God. And the people on this day, they stood silent when Elijah called them on the carpet. They answered not a word. And guys, several weeks ago, I preached a sermon called The Altar of the Lord. I'm not going to re-preach that sermon right out here, 1 Kings 18. We went over the altar and how it was found in disarray and how it was in a state of disrepair, if you will. It was broken down and all this and that. And yet, you know, the altar of Baal was over there pristine, commonly used, but God's altar was broken down. And one thing that I found out in the scripture, God never fell down and God never blessed an altar in disrepair. Elijah, before he challenged these prophets of Baal, before that happened, you know what he had to do? He had to rebuild the altar, amen. That was the sermon several weeks ago. The bottom line, guys, is Elijah was committed. From the day the drought was proclaimed, God provided for him from the water in the brook to the food from the ravens. 1 Kings 17, 2 through 7 tells us that Elijah obeyed the Lord. He dwelt by the brookside. He drank from it, and the ravens brought him food, which is an unclean bird, completely ironic, if you will. But God provided in a unique way to bring food unto Elijah. It ain't going to take long for a brook to dry up, and I've got to be honest, I tried to do some research, guys, to find out how long it would have taken for a brook to dry up, and the variables were all over the page, but I know this to be a certain fact. In the rare times when it doesn't rain for 3 or 4 weeks, that river Taff over there dries up to the bone in just a few weeks. So Elijah was not there by the brookside very long. You know, when that thing dried up, the Lord told Elijah to find a certain woman of Zarephath, a widow woman from Jezebel's home territory, mind you, with a young son. 1 Kings 17, 8 through 16 tells us Elijah obeyed the Lord, and he ate many days with this woman and her son, with the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil failing not. More than likely, he was with this woman for over 3 years, if you will, most of the time of the great famine in the land. That widow's faith was tested when her son died, but restored, his life was brought back to that young child through the prayers and the actions of the man of God. And that's 1 Kings 17, verses 17 through 24. Now we get to where the meat of the message is. The Bible says, now after many days, well over 3 years, I would say, we know the great day of the challenge between the man of God and the prophets of Baal was about to happen, and those prophets of the grove, which is the prophets of Atharosh, which is Baal's girlfriend. The Bible tells us that in Judges 2:13, it's said to be the goddess of the Zidonians. In 1 Kings 11:5, it does. In Jeremiah 44, she's the queen of heaven. Amen. That's before the Catholic institution was ever formed. Queen of heaven is Ashtaroth, Baal's girlfriend, not Mary. And I want you to think about it like this. For 3.5 years, Elijah fully obeyed God. The Lord was fully and faithfully providing for him and those associated with him every single day. And the day has come for the famine to end, even though the people did not know that. And Elijah drops this bomb of a question on the people. How long halt ye between two opinions? You're starving, your kids can't eat, there's no water. God's provided for me, the man of God he is. That widow woman, her son. It's a convicting question, mind you. They've served a false god for many years. It resulted in a famine of the land. Elijah rebukes the king, telling him that it was actually him that's troubling Israel. The day has come for the great challenge. God, the God of gods versus your little god. So, beloved, I'm going to ask you this question. And we'll give you quick 3 popcorn points. And we're going to go to close. How long hold ye between two opinions? You know what that question is? Are you committed? Do you know what commitment brings into a life? What commitment brings into a Christian's life? Let me tell you what it brings. It brings confidence. It brings confidence. In 1 Kings 18, 25 through 27, the Bible says, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose ye a bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock and which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from the morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, and there was nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. We have a world today who struggles with confidence in literally everything. From school to training to family to relationships, work promotions, you name it. Our people in our world today have zero confidence. And you know why? Because they have zero commitment. Why do you think podcasts have taken off in leaps and bounds over the past several years? Because people will go from one podcast to the next one, from one episode to the next one, looking for some sort of quick fix foundation in their life, yet they never get it. Because most of what they're hearing, guys, are experiences, often embellished experiences, mind you, of other people, which simply do not transpose into your life. But off we go to the next one. Chasing confidence with a great lack. And yet people remain weak, spineless, and unable to take a stand on what's right. You know why, guys? It's very simple. They're just not committed. They're not committed. They're not committed to the source which is authorized to give you providence, blessings, and confidence that we greatly so need today. I'll tell you another one just real quick, and we'll move to the third. Commitment will give you continence in your life. Continence. 1 Kings 18:28 says, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. That's those silly pagans, man, worshiping a false god who's never done anything for them. And when he didn't show up and when Elijah mocked them, they lost their ever-loving mind. And what did they start doing? They started cutting themselves. No commitment. No confidence. I'll tell you the last thing that commitment will give you. It'll give you confidence in your communication. Yeah, communication. You may think this morning that this is not a telltale sign of confidence, but it is. 18 says, and the answer says, I have not troubled Israel, but thou. He wasn't politically correct. Verse 22 tells us, then Elijah said unto the people, 25 says, Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal. 30, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him. Now, mind you, he's telling them what to do, and they're doing it. Verse 34, and he says, do it a second time. They did it a second time. He said, do it a third time. Did it a third time. That's pouring that water. Verse 37 says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that the people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Verse 40, Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one escape. 450 are killed that day. Verse 41, Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. What did Elijah do? The king, he took off, got in his chariot and went. Man, say what you mean and mean what you say. That's communication. I'm going to say this on the backside, guys, and we're nearly finished. There's a telltale sign when people have no commitment, they have a lack of confidence, and their communication is aired. They're usually weak, insecure, uncommitted, unconfident, incontinent people with horrible communication skills. And there's two levies of this. There's the toppers, and there's the overrelators. They always have to overrelate their stories, end the conversation with themselves, and 9 times out of 10, the story that they're telling begins right when that the person who was speaking had their last breath. Amen? They see a conversation as an attack on themselves as opposed to an opportunity to get to know someone. Beloved, I got to say this to you this morning, and I'm done. Elijah wasn't afraid with anyone. He wasn't afraid of anyone. Now, I understand what happens on the backside of this victory here, and he got afraid of a Jezebel, but up until this point, he had no fear. God, when your source is the God of all gods, when your source is God Almighty, there's not a man or a woman or an entity in this world that you should ever be afraid of. If you're committed. Elijah was committed. We know that there was 12 barrels of water that ended up being poured all over that altar that day. And you say, where'd that water come from? That water came from God, not the Mediterranean. Listen, when the sun came down, it was 6 o'clock. It was time for the evening sacrifice. There ain't no way they're making 3 trips down there with 4 barrels in time to hit that sacrifice in the evening time. That was Elijah saying, I'm all in. God doesn't need a parlor trick to prove who he is. You don't need to wet it down in order for God to bring fire. God called the fire, the water itself. He'll pull the hydrogen out of the water and make it catch fire if he wants to. It wasn't a parlor trick. It wasn't a proof. It was Elijah's way of saying, I'm all in. I don't know if it's going to rain today. I don't know if we have provision, but I'm all in, God. I'm committed. You see, my friend, Elijah was fully committed. He was all in. He put all that water in there, and God just licked it up. That's commitment, beloved. And where it rests in our life today is that we have to ask ourselves, how long halt ye between two opinions? Do we want to live according to the life of Baal? Do we want to live according to the ways of this world? Do we want to live in sin and take the pleasures that come with it for a short season? But we want the blessings of God. God doesn't have to rain fire and brimstone upon you. God doesn't have to bring some type of judgment into your life. All he has to do is step to the side, oh, but for a moment, take the blessings and protection off of your life to let you understand where you are today. So how long halt ye this morning? I'm asking you that question where you are in your Christian life. Are you committed? Would you bow your heads this morning? Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be together. We ask of you now that if you will, take this sermon, dear Lord, and just write it upon the table of our hearts, Father. And Lord, I just pray that if any conviction has set in today, Lord, if it be anger, conviction of sadness, whatever it may be, that the Holy Scripture would be searched primarily and foremost to change our opinions, to change our preferences, to change our position to fall in line with you, that we may see the glory of our Lord fall upon us all. Lord, I love you. Bless this now, this time of baptism, the closing of the service, and the rest of this Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I hope and pray that the preaching and teaching of the Word of God was a blessing to your heart and your mind.